Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Begin today's show with a little story. Not really a story, little incident this week. Lady was on her way to the office. She got lost. She was within 1 mile of the office. It took 15 minutes for her to remember how to get there. We almost got in the car to find her where she was to bring her. Reason? You already know the reason. She couldn't remember the directions. Didn't know how to work a GPS, but literally couldn't remember the directions. Didn't want to tell us she was lost, so she only called a few times. But it took her, she was within a few, I don't know, half a mile of the office, and it took a full 15 minutes to get there. Has that ever happened to you? Do you live with brain fog? Lots of people do. Today's show, we're going to get into the word brain fog. Now, I don't mean you have a disease. Brain fog is not a disease. Those of you that have diseases, those of you who know people with diseases, well, it stems from the same issues. Only by the time it's a disease, you're into a different level of it. Whether you can't remember where you are because you've got senility or you've got early stages of Alzheimer's, or whatever you've got that's been characterized as a disease, it begins with things that we're going to discuss today. So today's show is really about cognitive health, but you understand it as brain fog. All right. Number one, let's discuss the brain. Something special about the brain. It's called the blood-brain barrier. Now, if you can get to the website, as always, that's straighttalk.cc. Take a look at picture number one. And essentially what the blood-brain barrier means is that the brain is only semi-permeable to what's in the blood. The brain protects itself in special ways. So the capillary system leading to the brain has an extra dimension within it that protects it or filters out what would normally get into the brain cells. This is called the blood-brain barrier. This is of special interest in pharmacology because lots of drugs that you want to get into your brain so that you can help the brain cognitively or with brain tumors, lots of those drugs you can't get through the blood-brain barrier. So everybody studies this. It's not just a holistic concern or something that we note of importance to natural doctors, but this is of extreme importance in pharmacology. We can't deliver the drug to the brain because we can't get it through the blood-brain barrier. Often, of course, that's important because lots of stuff the brain doesn't want or need and is protected by because of this extra ring around the capillary system that protects the brain cells, the astrocytes, the glial cells, so on and so forth, from getting spooked. So, blood-brain barrier of key significance, and we'll tie that in later. Your cognitive issues, your blood sugar issues, your issues with, well, what you'd otherwise call brain fog can begin at a very young age. It's not just for older people. At a very young age, simply because at a very young age, lots of kids know what it is to get an insulin spike. Now, you got to make a distinction here, and this is important, between this idea that sugar is bad for the brain because the blood sugar goes high. While that's true, young people aren't going to suffer from that. And this is where you got to get a little education. Insulin is the chemical that the pancreas secretes to push the sugar in the blood. As it gets too high, it pushes the sugar in the blood into the cell. And that's exactly what insulin's there for, to reduce blood sugar after you take too much in. Now, when kids do that, they secrete often way more insulin than they're supposed to stabilize their blood sugar. When they can't do that anymore, or when the insulin doesn't work anymore, well, this is when you're in middle age and you're looking at type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetic states. But I don't want to get to that yet. I want to point out that cognitive dysfunction, as early as kids in class taking exams, studying and cramming it in at the last second, are often having blood sugar spikes that they're compensating with insulin spikes. And the high insulin does what? Some of you should know. The minute you live in existence where you're constantly pushing your insulin up, even if it regulates your blood sugar, at some point that high insulin begins to inflame the brain. Now, later on, 50 years later, you're looking at disease. But early on, what you're looking at is brain fog. Some people are better than others at dealing with this issue. Some people regulate their blood sugar, throw too much insulin into the blood, and because they have very powerful adrenal glands, they quell or suppress the inflammation very easily. So you're going to have people that can respond, even as kids, to these high insulin spikes because of these high-carb diets that moms try to get kids off of, but that kids generally circumvent in sneaky little ways in the cafeteria at lunch, go to take the exams, are practically falling asleep in their exams because their insulin's spiking so high. Some kids can compensate, some kids can't. Which kid you are, well, that's what the show is about. Critical to understand that adrenaline and cortisol compensate people for high insulin. I have to put this, well, maybe not at the top of the list, but one of the big three. We are a carb country. We have issues with meat. Some of those issues are very well founded. And on the lower end of the economic scale, like the high school cafeteria, carbs abound. Carbs are easy. Carbs are accessible. Carbs don't spoil with preservatives, so on and so forth. Carbs are everywhere. Now, if you've got brain fog when you're a kid for reasons, and of course, these reasons go undetected. Why? Because nobody checks blood sugar. But even if you check blood sugar, if you're really catching my point, you won't find this problem when you check blood sugar. You're going to find this problem when you look at insulin secretion. This is a real important distinction. And you don't know it until you get off sugar. So, top of the list, especially if you're a kid, especially if you're a teenager, if you've got academic concerns, if you've got the kind of job where your brain has to be super sharp, and you're under 30, and you don't understand why you go in and out of brain fog, look at insulin. And the best way to do it, because the testing for insulin is difficult. Testing for insulin is something nobody wants to do. You have to go to special labs for it. Often your medical doctor doesn't want to order the test. Of course, you can go to Life Extension. You can go to request a test. You can go to independent labs and do it yourself. But by and large, measuring insulin has a better solution, and that is get off carbs. If you've got brain fog, the first thing you do is go to a relatively carb-free diet. Now, once done, you'll be able to contrast, and that's what so much of this is about. You're going to go into a contrast between what you suffer on the carb and the way your brain starts to feel over time. Now, there's a caveat to that, and that caveat is it may take a week to 2 weeks to a month to recover from another aspect of this issue. And that is, When you switch off carbs because your blood sugar or and insulin starts running too high, when you switch off carbs, your liver takes a week to 2 to 3 weeks to actually begin to engineer the enzymes required to give you energy or to compensate your blood sugar for the carb deficiency by burning fat. Let me say that again. There are enzymes in the liver that you have to have enough of that transform the fat to sugar so you can stabilize your blood sugar in the absence of carbs. That's a process called gluconeogenesis. This is why if you've ever gone paleo, if you've ever gone off carbs for a while, you begin to notice an issue of fatigue the first day or two or three. People tell you, get off carbs, you're going to get stronger. You're going to get smarter. You're going to have more energy. And you get off carbs, and for the first week or two, maybe for longer than you can endure, you feel extra fatigue. And everybody else is telling you you're going to have energy and you have fatigue. Here's the reason, and it relates to this issue with brain fog. Anytime you use carbohydrate to fuel your cells and you go off carbs, your body has to sustain its blood sugar by burning fat. Now, that's a good thing, but you have to give it time in the liver to build the enzymes and to start building those enzymes in sufficient quantity. Especially if your liver is sluggish, can take a week, sometimes 2 weeks, sometimes a month. All right, so brain fog, what to do about it? Number one, especially if you're under the age of 30, and definitely if you're over the age of 30. I say under the age of 30 because it's the first place you look is to high blood sugar. But don't be deceived by good blood sugar numbers and high insulin. Because the insulin is really the thing that causes the inflammation up in the brain. And that's the beginning of brain fog and degenerative disease way down the line. Now, if you do get off the carbs, give it a little bit of time. Give it a week or two or three. Okay. If this is the first time you're listening to the show, get on the website. I've got some pictures. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's straighttalk.cc. That's with two T's and not .com.cc. All right. Let's get into other causes. Let's get into cortisol. Now, cortisol is a hormone secreted from the adrenal glands. And the adrenal glands sit on top of the kidneys. Much ado about inflammation. Everybody's pointing today to inflammation as the cause of lots of diseases. An article the other day, Alzheimer's disease is not caused by plaques. It's caused by inflammation. And really, the public's got to get hip to what everybody's talking about. Inflammation is simply the beginning of damage to the cells caused by hundreds of different variables, all of which begin breakdowns in the cell that will eventually create diseases, generally where your genetic weaknesses are. Inflammation is a prerequisite to almost every disease. So the notion that now we're studying disease more closely and deciding that inflammation drives the disease, as in Alzheimer's, not beta amyloid plaques, but inflammation causes the disease, this is just a play on words. Seems like we're getting somewhere and discovering something. We're discovering nothing. Common sense has always told us that before you get the physical effects of a disease, a symptom, or before you can measure destruction, inflammatory processes have been going on for many, many years before. And this applies to just about every disease there is. That being said, what did God give us to suppress inflammation? Oh, you know this from sports. You sprain your ankle, you got to get out there and play the game anyway because it's the championship and you get a shot of cortisone.